The first reading can be found on page 632 of the Pew Bibles and page 1124 of the Blue Large Print Bibles. And it is taken from Psalm 145, beginning to read at verse 10. That's Psalm 145, beginning to read at verse 10. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading can be found on page 1175 of the Pew Bibles or page 2065 of the large print Blue Bibles. And it's taken from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 14. That's Ephesians 3, beginning to read at verse 14. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I have a golden rule when it comes to looking at the Bible. Always pray first. You see, the Bible is written by people inspired by God, and we are here today hoping to be given something through reading and looking at the scriptures, something that God wants to give us. And I like to use words from the Bible if I can when I pray. And just now I'm going to use the last line or two from Psalm 19. So let us just pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. The next 15 minutes or so, we're going to look at our reading from St. Paul's epistle or letter to the Ephesians. First, we'll give some background memory jog, and then secondly, give some thought to our little passage, and thirdly, consider how it might apply to us here today. I wonder when we heard that reading just then, and certainly when I was thinking through it, I wonder what sort of phrase might come to mind, or words might come to mind, or something that conjures up in your head. And for me, it was three words. Encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. Well, let's do our memory jog first of all. Paul had lived in Ephesus for about 3 years, they think between AD 52 and 55. And we can read about that in Acts chapters 19 and 20. Acts 19, verse 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. The Ephesians had clearly become very fond of Paul, and we read of a very emotional farewell when Paul says goodbye and gets on a boat to leave. You can have a look at it for yourself sometime. So it is no surprise that when Paul gets a chance, he writes an encouraging letter to his dear friends at the Ephesian church. You can go and visit Ephesus today if you want to. You can make your way to Turkey and see where Paul spent 3 years of his life. Ephesus was once a major city in the ancient world and had a shipping port which has long since gone. The harbour is all silted up and the coast has moved further out. Ephesus is one of what is known as the seven churches of Revelation. If you read chapter 2 of the last book of the Bible, you'll find those letters to the seven churches, the first of which is addressed to the church at Ephesus. In his writing, Paul refers to him as a prisoner of Christ. In chapter 3, verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." And he makes similar reference to himself being a prisoner in chapter 4, verse 1, and chapter 6, verse 20 of that letter to the Ephesians. You see, Paul has used his Roman citizenship to appeal to Caesar, rather than be tried in Jerusalem. Paul has wanted to travel to Rome for some time because he knows that if he can plant and encourage a Christian church there, in what was the hub of the known world, all roads leading to Rome and all that, then Christianity will spread with people all over the empire and beyond. Again, you can read for yourself of Paul's exciting journey to Rome, including a shipwreck at Malta, in the final two chapters of Acts. Being a seaport, Ephesus would have had it all going on. People of all types coming and going. I lived in Liverpool for a time, and even after its heyday, you could still feel the influence of many different cultures. People and goods from all around the world landing on the dockside. The world is a small place in a port. With the influence of Rome and all types coming and going, the religion was one of worshipping many, many different gods. Ephesus was very much a pagan city. And so Paul, under house arrest in Rome, awaiting trial from Nero, writes a number of his famous letters. They are 2 Timothy, Colossians, Philemon, Philippians, and I'll read you today from the letter to the Ephesians. In a way, the title Ephesians does not give the casual reader much help in what the book is about. You could argue that someone with reasonable intellect would grasp something of, say, the book of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, which by its name says beginning, birth, or new start. And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, saying it's revealing something. But Ephesians, well, we all know it's a letter written by St. Paul to his friends at Ephesus in what is now Turkey. But the title gives nothing away. Perhaps we could do, as sometimes you get on books these days, give it a little subtitle. I quite like the commentator, as one commentator puts it, encouragement and joy in Christ. And then you could take the first half of the book and call it part one. Remember, you've been saved by Jesus. And the second part, you could call that living a Christian life. Well, let's give some thought to the passage we just had read to us. Let's take a look at our reading from part one. Remember, you've been saved by Jesus, from the book Encouragement and Joy in Christ. Our passage has become known as Paul's second prayer for the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Incidentally, his first prayer is in chapter 1 on the first half of it. But our reading, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father. I admire the way the revered St. Paul says he kneels. Even Paul humbles himself before the Heavenly Father, taking seriously his prayer. We then have this odd statement which we sometimes say in one of our creeds, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Here Paul is reminding the Ephesians that the Heavenly Father is of course the creator of all things on heaven and on earth. Then we get more encouragement from Paul. Verse 16, I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul wants the reader to experience the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people. Notice the word holy. Not just God's property, but we are now purified, holy people. He continues, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a statement! Wide, long, high, deep is that love. In fact, beyond the greatest mind. And then Paul ends with a big hit of encouragement at the end of this prayer. More than can be imagined, and forever and ever. Well, now let's give it some thought as to how it might apply to us here today. Encouragement for the Ephesians, encouragement for us, encouragement. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Let us with joy remind ourselves of our origin. It's a bit like saying being labelled of Chiltern or Harwell. You can choose to accept or deny where you are from and where you habitate. Our Heavenly Father is the creator and from whom we all originate, no matter what our circumstance here is on earth. Paul was under house arrest, and we are all under arrest in one way or another by life circumstance, family responsibilities, the school we attend, the job we hold down, the place we live, our health. You will know what your thing is. Paul is encouraging us to think beyond our immediate situation and is keen that we are filled by God's Holy Spirit so that we can cope with what life throws at us. Just as the Ephesians had to face the pagan world influences, so we here have to cope with all sorts of things being streamed past us. Paul reminds us by using the words father and family that we are in this together, that we should encourage one another and, like Paul, offer prayer. Let's reintroduce the phrase when we're talking amongst our friends, I will hold you in my prayers. Verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just as Paul is praying and encouraging them, so we should be praying and encouraging one another to think of the sheer enormity of God's love and power available to each and every one of us, no matter who we are. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure of all the fullness of God. Paul is very encouraging, and with good reason. Yes, we're in this together as a family of brothers and sisters in Christ. But that starts with each of us making a personal decision of faith. Over at Chilton recently, we've been doing an Alpha course where people can attend a weekly session and discover Christianity for themselves. Paul uses terms wide, long, high, deep, to express the enormity of God's love for us through Jesus Christ. It is sometimes difficult to put these things into words, as we discovered in discussion on the Alpha course. There is a point in time where you have to take a step forward in faith and try it for yourself. Choosing to follow Jesus Christ and therefore filled to measure with God's Holy Spirit, then you will know. Paul closes his prayer giving this big encouragement, and we should pray for God to work within us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and that we in turn encourage one another to live in our Christian lives. May I encourage you to consider seriously your own relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do talk with one of the clergy or the membership of this church or me today if you'd like to know more or you want to make that personal commitment to Jesus. I'm going to close now with a prayer. I'm going to borrow some of Paul's words, and I will say it in a personal way. And I hope you will also say it quietly in your own hearts with meaning. So we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now wanting to start afresh. I want to follow Jesus and be filled with your Holy Spirit and be part of your family. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.